You are listening to Oblivion. It is October 3rd, 2022. Well, David, the heroes of FEMA have done it again.
Nice. Are they getting the job done down there in Florida?
Oh, like, yeah.
In Katrina?
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing what they usually do, going street to street, looting houses. And raping and pillaging, just like you'd expect from our government. But yeah, seriously, of course, it's the same. How would you describe it? I guess it would be bureaucratic bullshit party. You know, it's like
indifference. Deliberate indifference.
Yeah, but also on top of it, there's this veneer of something being done, right? So you, it's been declared an emergency, and
the sham.
Biden will come down. Biden will come flying over top of the wasteland and looking out the window, just like Bush. But of course, we forget the most famous of the. Disaster fails, the Hurricane Katrina, where, of course, famously, Bush, a few days later, looked at the flooding damage from the airplane.
Just like God looking at us from above.
Yeah, and then went, it was still totally dark, and he proceeded and went to some park, Lafayette Park or something like that, in New Orleans, but they had to, bring in a bunch of generators and stuff to light it up for his for his little speech or whatever. Typical of the responses you'd expect. It's
appearance versus reality, pretending to do something while the people were dying and just having to suffer and not getting the help. I think about the people in New Orleans.
Yeah, in the stadium.
on the rooftops and in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium where, like, people were getting raped.
Was that what it was called?
What's that?
Was it called Mercedes?
The Superdome.
It was called Mercedes-Benz then, or is it called that now?
Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that's
mean, right? The stadium.
Yeah, but it at least now is called that, or are
you pretty sure? There is a Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, okay.
Dome. why don't you type that in? Why don't you type in Mercedes-Benz Superdome and see if that's actually what the New Orleans Stadium is called?
That would just be hilarious. But yeah, the images of the Mercedes-Benz.
But it's what was going on in the stadiums and then the people on the roof saying, help us, help us. And it's like, how come nobody isn't helping them? And it's like, what in the world could possibly be
take so long?
The confusion. I mean, it's a lot like Uvalde, right?
Yeah.
Like
it was like a week or 10 days before these like convoys showed up, or it was just outrageous. And in a similar situation here too, obviously there's no like which is what you'd expect with a true defense of the people, helping the people type operation. The army or whatever their quote invasion stuff would be, the cargo planes would be loaded up right away, and in there within 12 hours there'd be they come in, of course, they can come in from the sea, so their marine things could come in with supplies and put it on the beach right there. There could be helicopters come in, of course helicopters probably did do maybe some rescues, but anyway, if I was running things, that's how I would have it set up, right? I would have you know, all this stuff of war would be used to help people out in situations like this, disasters, you know. You hear that in the background?
Well, absolutely. And it needs to be, the response needs to be immediate, and it needs to be in proportion to what's happened. Like, you don't say, well, this agency does this and then these people do this. And it's like, whatever needs to be done gets done. I mean, in a way, you do see this after the fact with the way that the utilities people are always good from coming in from out of state all over the country when these major disasters hit somewhere.
Right, right.
So if these people, that these electricians and utility workers, if they can just simply get off their ass and do something,
yeah, right,
then these other people who are, even I would put, you're a first responder, you're definitely a notch above electrician in terms of how much you should be putting yourself on the line, and you should be at the ready to respond. Another amusing thing I want to bring up is, how come Ron DeSantis isn't forbidding FEMA from being there? I mean, you don't want the federal government meddling, right? People in Miami can't have vaccine mandates or mask mandates. The federal government certainly can't have any kind of vaccine or mask mandates to impose and take away the freedom of the people of the state of Florida. So why are we not seeing, we're Florida, we'll handle this ourselves. I mean, you're the big shot.
Yeah.
You're Florida. You think you're...
Well, I would guess that if there's some response that's subpar, that he'll use it against Biden in some shape or form. We're assuming that he's going to run for president, right? So, yeah, so he'll definitely use it in the future. I think right now he's smart enough to know not to be like, I don't know. But anyway.
Hostile.
Yeah, hostile right now.
Right, and to think you're right, it's with DeSantis, it's the cunning that short term he can get what he needs from the federal government, and then in the long term, what will predictably be a subpar response, he can then use that to further discredit the Democrats, which of course isn't all that difficult to do. If we're on DeSantis, I think that'd be a good time to swing again into Gavin Newsom, because Newsom really is emerging as the leader of the Democrat Party by way of his prominence in California, which he's got a runaway lead for being reelected governor there. And Newsom has actually been taking out ads in Texas, in Florida, challenging all of these conservative policies in this state. He's challenged, Newsom has challenged DeSantis to a debate. And one thing I like about Newsom is his rejection of Michelle Obama, basically his rejection of the Obamas and that approach of Democrats. He said that Biden should basically step aside because Biden is hardwired for compromise, which is, we both know, a euphemism for just sitting on your ass and letting Republicans run everything and take it to the extreme that it has now become. Newsom has been pretty aggressive in going on offense, which, as we know, on a national scene, Democrats never do. For example, Newsom is making it where people can have, people who have criminal records, of course, one in four Americans has a criminal record. So people who have a criminal record can get their record sealed. He's making it where prosecutors can't use rap lyrics in their arguments and in trials,
right? To try to bigot.
Unfair racial bias.
Yeah.
And
Well, I'll have to say that even this last week, I mean, there's a dark side to Gavin Newsom, and I think ultimately he's a Democrat.
What did he do wrong?
Well, he vetoed this bill that was, you know, of course, there's supermajority Democrats in California, so it's pretty much when the Democrats want something done, it'll get done. And there's a whole long list of things that aren't getting done there that could be, but they don't because they're these corporate oligarchical Democrats that run the party. And, you know, I would say that Gavin Newsom's probably one of them. But the thing that he did this week was vetoed a bill that was supposed to limit, not get rid of, which should happen, but limit solitary confinement in Californian prisons. And he vetoed it. So things like the, as far as the, you know,
right,
I'm sure he's just like Kamala Harris and is against bail reform.
If you were to compare Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden, though, doesn't Newsom seem?
I don't know, man. I would be skeptical. You know, because the thing that I think is important about every one of these figures is that they are marketing, right? There is a brand behind every one of these motherfuckers, right? And so when they talk,
I don't deny that.
Yeah. So, the rhetoric often belies what they actually do, and I think that's very much the case in California with the Democrats, because there is a perfect place that they could have on their own. I mean, a supermajority of Democrats could have started their own, sort of like Canada in Saskatchewan, their own universal health care, and to start the way. And it would be hard for me to believe that much of the rest of the country would fall in place on that idea, have a public option at the very least. And I'm sure it's been proposed many times, but the super majority of Democrats just don't do it. And why is that? Well, they're the majority of the supermajority are corporate, you know, tech, oligarchical corporate Democrats. And, that's the stark reality. And I'm sorry to be a downer about your being positive about Gavin Newsom.
No, but it's not a downer at all. Yeah. For me, I just think that Newsom is a significant figure that we should be paying attention to, but that doesn't mean I don't think that he's Jerry Garcia or anything.
What do you mean, man?
But I do think that just the issue with the Democrats is, I mean, you've got to get Biden out of the way, that if there is a political means of improvement for America, it's either the leadership changes for the Democrats. And I think your point is really accurate in terms of the elite, the people at the top of the Democrats always wind up being these pretty hardcore conservative corporate butt plugs, stooges.
Yeah. So I have
the branding, you're also right. I mean, certainly when I think back to the ObamaCon in the lead up to him being president, I mean, you can just see that hardcore marketing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was
black and
he was constantly. I remember the McLaughlin report. You remember that PBS thing that was, they would sit around and talk about.
I know the show.
Yeah, yeah, and I remember there was, you know, the McLaughlin one day was just, he did it more than one time, several times, called Obama the most liberal or left person in Congress when he was senator, you know, and this was leading up to the election. So that brand was, you know, being pushed forward even by the conservatives, like McCarthy was. So, yeah, I mean, that there's a perfect example of it was this whole marketing thing of him being, well, we know we've talked about this many times. You know, there were some expectations, right, that he was going to do something about these goddamn banksters. And instead, he completely just opened up the coffers for them, bailed them out.
He coddled them.
Coddled them, bailed them out, and is one of them.
He made sure that they were going to win no matter what.
Yeah, and we know now he is one of them. I mean, he is like a bro, Wall Street bro. I mean,
of
he
course.
Lives on Martha's Vineyard.
And Eric
on
Holder,
his,
who was his attorney general,
right,
and said we're not going to prosecute, then winds up getting a $1 million partnership at a law firm when he's no longer attorney general at a law firm that represented one of the big banks.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's a major scandal. And
we knew quickly that there were likely it was over right away because he put in his cabinet like some of these very banksters in the cabinet. You know,
there's very people that you were campaigning against. Like, why would you retain them? Right. And just the way he, it really was like, here comes the screw over.
I'm predicting for Gavin Newsom, he's going to have this progressive Bernie-esque. Yeah, Bernie, but I think probably slicker, you know, he's slicker probably than Bernie, and more Obama-esque, I think, you know, maybe has some charm.
Bernie didn't have the hair gel.
Yeah. If he'd had a little more hair gel, it would have pushed him over the top, but what can you do? So we'll see. My prediction is we'll see that type of Obama-esque thing that will be pushed forward. Now, you know, he's from California, so the conservative parts of the country are probably going to reject him anyway. But if it came a type of Bernie situation where it was an actual threat to the status quo, you know, it would be shut down and we'll get, I don't know who it is. Kamala, I don't think Kamala is going to be able to do it because she's just...
Buttigieg.
Buttigieg, maybe. Yeah, right. Some, you know, mannequin like that.
Neighbors with Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, probably
right?
Good.
I mean, you know, Mayor Pete is from South Bend.
Oh, yeah.
Justice Barrett, Supreme Court Justice Barrett, comes from Notre Dame Law School. So pretty overt on all of that. But I just have to say, to go back to the whole ObamaCon and Eric Holder situation from the early days of Obama becoming president, when liberals have to obsess on how Donald Trump is just so obviously much, much worse than any of our other recent presidents, say Reagan forward.
Yeah.
And that certainly Obama was much better, so dignified and proper, and there were no scandals and whatever, that what happened with Eric Holder and the decision not to prosecute the banks coming in right after the entire collapse of the economy and a $700 billion bailout of the banks, that is a total scumbag scandal. That is a major, major slime ball move. I mean, you want to talk about sleazeball, complete corruption. I'll be attorney general. You guys get all the money you want, no problem that you broke all these laws and you literally stole from the American people and at an incredible amount, right? And for the worst reason of all, that you were just greedy and out of control, right? Not because you wanted to steal from the rich to give from the poor. You want to steal from the poor to give more to the rich and to yourselves.
And
when you're no longer attorney general, you get a job at one of these firms making millions of dollars.
Well, but it was before that, David. It was before that. He was a corporate defense lawyer before. That was his job before.
He was
doing his job. you know, so he defended the corporate
general in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's just,
well,
but the fact that even it's bad enough that you are correct to point out that that's what Holder was before his appointment as attorney general. Of course, Holder, as you well pointed out, is racially black, but culturally white, like the ObamaCon.
Yeah.
So you hire Holder, and it's another way that to basically insulate, in a liberal's mind anyway, you're insulated from criticism. Like, you can't go after the blacks because really you're just being a racist, right? Mitch McConnell's going after these people. So if you criticize Obama too, you're like Mitch McConnell. It's the same thing with Hillary Clinton, right? Like, if you criticize her, you're a misogynist. You don't like women. Like, you like Bernie because you really like Trump, and you're like Trump and you hate women. And you know, the tandem of ObamaCon and Hillary Clinton and the complete piece of shit that Obama's presidency was, the total sham that it was, and then the way the rift between Clinton and her supporters, and the way that they just totally looked down on the Bernie Sanders people and just came out of the closet, the Hillary people, basically as these hardcore conservatives, right? Elitists, into money, Wall Street, the warmongering, the vote for the Iraq war, and it doesn't matter, more power, more for us. And that was it for the Democrats, totally, for me. And as we go into 2022, like, what in the good Christ do I have to vote for the Democrats for? I mean, did we get any federal decriminalization on marijuana, medical marijuana? Do we have medical marijuana in Kentucky? While we've been hearing the Democrat governor say that he's going to use his executive action, but he hasn't used it, unless I missed something. I mean,
now, are you talking?
Something wrong with
are
me,
you
Dave?
Talking,
Tell
you,
me, Dave, why I need to vote Democrat.
You mean for this upcoming election or the presidency?
Either one, both.
Well, I'm not going to say defend Democrats at all, and I'm definitely the last person that would suggest a person vote for the Democrats for any reason. I mean, sure, if you want to, fine. But I'm, for instance, in our election, we've got Charles Booker, who's running against the now fairly long time incumbent
Rand Paul.
And of course, it's a forlorn situation in the background. And of course, totally in denial is the fact that the Democrat powers that be, the people that hold the money and the purse strings, did not give Booker money. You know, that's just a fact. And that's a sign that they didn't support him and don't want him because he's a Bernie progressive, right?
Right.
And a genuine, real person. And that's the last goddamn thing they want in the world. So,
especially in a place like Kentucky. I mean, maybe you can have that crap out in Oregon or Vermont. But
exactly. Yeah. So we're not going to.
You keep that stuff out of the labor camp.
Yeah. And then there's truth in that. And that, you know, I think that they're cynical. Well, it just comes down to that these are illiberal or whatever you want to call them, neoliberal, semi-fascist, corporate ghouls that are
ghouls. Is the word.
Yeah, perfect. October. Perfect for this.
First podcast of October. The ghouls.
The ghouls of Capitol Hill.
That's an excellent title. The ghouls of Capitol Hill.
And
they are a bunch of creeps.
Yeah, so
Biden is a total creep.
Yeah, total creep. And
God, what a waste, man.
Yeah, so back to Booker. I mean, that's a, you know, I'll be going vote for him, the forlorn vote
guarantee first election that'll be called as soon as the polls close. Right. In less than 1 minute, it'll be Rand Paul wins Kentucky.
Yeah, and what else? Oh, the only reason I see to go to vote is that Kentucky has a anti-abortion, pro-life, constitutional amendment thing, probably much like Kansas. I'm not sure the details. That's up for vote here in November. So definitely got to go in there and vote no. I predict it's going to be rejected, but you know, it'll be an interesting
test.
Can
you go into a little bit more detail, because the way these things are worded, like rejected means it'll be harder, easier for women to get an abortion?
Yeah, well, it's a pro-life amendment, so it's basically, you know, banning abortion, basically. I don't know the details to how severe.
So you want to vote no?
You want to vote no, I'm pretty sure, but I'll confirm
sure,
that before
right.
I'll confirm that before I go in
on purpose.
Yeah, I'll confirm that before I go into the booth. But yeah, I mean, that's the, yeah, I'm predicting that it'll lose, but you know, that'll be a good sign. If Kansas rejected it pretty roundly, I mean, what was it, 10 percentage points or 15? It was fairly significant. If Kentucky turns around and passes such a thing, now that's pretty miserable, you know. And I'll never defend Kentucky as a, you know, having much
anything.
Hope. if that's the attitude that we've got here, but I'm kind of doubting that it'll succeed. But
so, you know, now this is a good prediction. Now I'm going to predict that if there's a pro-life amendment, however it's worded, however you're supposed to vote, the pro-life amendment will pass.
Okay, you think it will pass. Okay, well, that'll be a...
And you're saying it won't?
I think it won't.
Why?
Because I think the abortions are popular, man. They're big now. Big business. People want to have that business. Yeah, well, you've got your boutique abortion places you can go to, and but
I mean, the whole reason these hardcore conservatives dominate the Kentucky legislature.
Basically, the only thing that I base this on is Kansas. I mean, I would have never thought that Kansas, which is a pretty old right-wing, long-term Republican state, you know, it's been since the Republican shift to the South and what do you call that? The Plain States.
Right.
You know, totally solid. You know, they turned Republican long before Kentucky did. So, yeah, that's all I base it on. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. As hardcore religious as Kentucky is, and it does come down to, well, there'd be a fire in the belly of people that are, I mean, it certainly is inspiring me to vote against it. So maybe people will feel the threat and get off their ass and vote it down. But
so I think we're kind of seeing our disagreement emerging that you think that there's the people are actually not totally conservative, and I, especially in Kentucky. But so here's a question. Why is the Kentucky legislature so completely dominated by Republicans if Kentuckians are, when you get right down to it, pro-choice?
Well, a large part of the answer to that is that, so you're saying the Democrats are not conservative too? I think there's more simple, rather than being political reasons, there's tribal reasons, there's it baffles me. But of course I'm often baffled that Democrats, so-called Democrats, vote for these hardcore right-wing Democrats. So that's just about as baffling as if they would vote in Republicans.
I agree with you on that. I mean, that part is well said. I'm thinking in particulars about something like medical marijuana, where what 90% of Kentuckians want that, and it can't even be brought to a vote. What the hell's going on? We do know, I mean, if there's one thing you want to say about the Democrats in Kentucky, is that of the people who do support medical marijuana in the Kentucky state government, they are the Democrats.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, as conservative as they may be, they're the ones that are supporting it. And so it is beyond me that, and it just seems absolutely hopeless. And I'll tell you what I think has been going on. If you look at when Kentucky just became locked in with the Republicans, when did all of that happen? It happened right around 2000. And the same things were going on at this time, which is that the country, the government, the United States government became a dictatorship because the Supreme Court appointed the president. The president was not elected by the voters. It was appointed by the Supreme Court. That is a fact. And then we had September 11th happen. Oddly enough, not even a year after that election. And then I think the country really did become just straight up militarized. And that one of the overt strategies was that in the parts of the country that were already sympathetic to conservatism, those places were going to be engineered by Washington, D.C., including the Washington, D.C. Democrats, to become super hardcore conservative. Because there's no reason why you can have a country that just automatically can have a place like Vermont or Oregon and Kentucky, right? Like, is Kentucky, if it were just to be its own thing, is it really just that insane? And I'm saying no, that it's been like injecting steroids into a conservative leaning brain, and then it just goes nuts, and this bullshit with Amy McGrath and the pretty much whole worthless negligence, right? The media, the national media, always representing Kentuckians like these religious, like pre-evolved, you know, nomads, you know, that just, let's just get this cobblers together outside, we'll make a church, everything's fine. And once again, Kentuckians building, reminding you of the message of faith in the face of disaster. Back to you, Lester. And the it's all just so, again, overt is the word I would use, that your Kentucky's been engineered, socially engineered, to be as super conservative as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking
like
of,
if it's to go back to the abortion vote, if you think that there's really deep down the fire in the belly overturning Roe versus Wade, you're going to see Kentuckians come out and actually support abortion rights. And it wouldn't just be limited to Lexington and Louisville, the super liberal Lexington, the liberal college town, as MSNBC, the dorks there. There's a university there. So it's liberal. Like, wow, what? You're a real hardcore researcher to put that together. That must have taken a lot of work to come up with that. Anyway.
Yeah, speaking of...
But if that's true, I just have to finish this point. If that's true, I don't understand why the Republican Party would just have such a vice grip lock on the legislature. Do you have an explanation?
No, not really. No, it's a mystery. So, and this will be a pretty good test of
you're right. How, it is how right I'm glad wing, that you brought this up. It's a good test.
Yeah, of the right wingness. And speaking of faith-based medicine, this is an interesting story. My Nancy was taking her mother into an appointment with her cancer doctor. And while they were in the waiting room, the message got out to all the employees that the mask mandates in medical facilities had been lifted, and everybody took their mask off. uh,
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just like the conversation we had about the universities a couple of months ago. I read the same thing, that the mask mandate had been lifted, and they all, like, the second that it happened, yay, take it off.
Right. Oh, just like in the planes, right? There was, like, I'd heard reports of people that were on planes, and it was announced while they were on the plane, everybody took their mask off and, like, celebrated. And, you know, that's the last fucking thing I'd do.
Right.
Yeah, I would put it on tighter.
What do you think about the virus?
Yeah. And along with other, wonderful Democrat values, they did a continuing, like they often do now with the budget, the national budget. They don't follow the rules, and they keep doing these continuing resolutions. And, they just, for years, they've just, you know, it's a sham democracy, right? It's just like all these rules are supposed to go in to figure out the budget is just ignored. But, you know, they have various reasons. It's like because they're, you know, lack of cooperation. But basically what it ends up doing is kind of bypassing oversight, basically, and they push the can down the road. And in the meantime, they slip in some things. So, of course, Ukraine got, you know, another $15 billion as part of this continuing resolution thing. You know, there's no reason. It has nothing to do with the condition, you know, but we're just going to throw another $10, $15 billion at Ukraine. But they had no money for COVID relief.
Right.
So that's now the zero.
That's just outrageous.
Yeah. And they also, there was a expired, I heard that the free lunch programs expired, and they didn't re-up that. I mean, don't the Democrats know that that's kind
well,
of
let's
that
face
looks
it.
Bad.
I mean, if you don't have those children in poverty, the economy is going to collapse.
Yeah, it just seems very foolish not to throw a few more bones in there. You know, sure, they got this lame, at least it was more than that.
Mansion butt plug bill?
Yeah, the bill where they, it was the debt relief, which I guess was just executive, whatever, executive decree. It's not coming to me, but.
Executive order?
Executive order was what got this debt relief for tuitions, right? So it was,
right.
But it's already, they already dropped some of it. So it's like private colleges now. They just went ahead and dropped it. They didn't fight it. They just dropped it because the private institutions were threatening to sue about it. So they just dropped it. They didn't fight it.
Hey, I don't, you know, I don't like this law. Okay, well, we'll just, you know, we won't enforce it then. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
Yeah, so it's just, I'm very disappointed. What else we have on the list? Quickly, Brazil, we'll have to go to a second round. Lula, the left-wing candidate who was president of Brazil for a term, then his acolyte was in there, and then they were both, there was a scandal that was all manufactured of Lavo Jato car wash. It was this corruption probe. There was corruption, but they put Lula in it falsely. Again, this was CIA, United States backed, you know, bullshit. But Lula was put in prison there for quite a while, and a year or two. And it turned out it's all been dropped since that. You know, it was all manufactured, just a mini coup. So he came back, but he didn't get the 50% required to win the first round. So it's in a month, it's going to be revoted again. Another, he'll probably win, but Brazil's kind of a mess too. They have that strangely similar hardcore, well, even and maybe in some ways more extreme right wing, because I, for instance, Bolsonaro was part of the right wing coup regime of the 60s and 70s that was, you know, if you, it's hard to believe, but more violent than the FBI and the the United States. So
hey man, there's nothing like competition.
Yeah, and a brother country down there, South America, being proto-fascist.
Have your right-wing ally.
Yeah.
Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah. Well, we've got them in every one of those countries, plotting and meddling, and it's what we're best at. I'm looking on the New York Times front page, a quick view of the front page in the New York Times. Number Ukraine is back at the top. Ukraine forces show no sign of slowing after capture of key city. So, you know, they've put Ukraine back at the top. And then, oh, prosecution says Oath Keepers concocted a plan for armed rebellion. So they've got January 6th and the second quote, second page, second screen. Then they've got, oh, troubles with the Democrats in Nevada because of economic issues. Uphill battle to hold the House. Democrats bet on abortion rights. So that may fail, the abortion rights thing, because just like me, I'm tired of hearing it. You know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like they've been talking about the gotta vote for us because Roe v. Wade, gotta vote for Roe v. Wade, and then it gets lost, and then they're still saying that. It's like, well, shit, man. You guys aren't doing shit on that.
Right.
You failed.
That's an excellent point. I've made this, again, to no avail, talking to liberals. It's like if the Democrats really cared about Roe versus Wade, they would have codified it into law a long time ago, and they would have never pandered to such a hardcore right-wing Republican Party, because it would have been completely obvious what that meant, which is that the day was going to come when it was going to get toppled. Yeah. And yeah, just to think about what the country has been through with the pandemic and then the collapse of the economy in 08, and then the austerity and this constant cutting everything, never, I mean, sharing, redistributing wealth, but you bailed out the banks, you gave all this money to the rich people. And the money is, look, the wealth can't exist without the nation. If it doesn't have the population, if you don't have the workers, if you don't have the consumers and the spenders, this wealth doesn't exist. So you can't just say, well, it all belongs to them and they've earned it, and that's what makes America great. But yeah, I'm sick of these people, man. It's always, the problem is you haven't done enough for us. Like, get me some more senators. People risked their lives in November of 2020 to vote in the cold, to still weren't vaccinated, to cast a ballot. Democrats actually got the Senate and the White House. And really the only thing that's happened is Roe versus Wade got overturned. So it's just such a...
Yeah, it seems a very weak, if that's your main thrust to try to win, you know,
right,
keep control of the House, you
right,
know,
to get back something. So instead of like that, we forget that we can actually
do something right
and
now,
get
yeah,
something and move forward. Now yeah, we're just going to lose stuff and then tell you that we'll get it back.
Yeah. And yeah, what things could they offer? Well, they could offer Medicare for all. They could offer, you know, the list goes on and on.
They could have legalized the marijuana. And this is the big thing, is if I'm supposed to believe that Democrats are that afraid of Donald Trump and the far right, Democrats are your only alternative to the far right. That's the big national commercial that the Democrats are running. Then it's unbelievable that they wouldn't just go ahead and legalize pot of all things. Like, it's still this important for you to keep this illegal and to keep it exactly the way that it's been, right? Our whole lives. It can't change at all. Despite the fact 68% think it should be legal in places like Oklahoma, South Dakota, Arizona. I mean, just really conservative places on their own have legalized it. It's the perfect bipartisan, right? Both liberals and Democrats agree we want this. We're the Democrats. No, we won't do it. I don't really believe you. You know, I think that you're just a bigot, a power-hungry pain monger that has to keep the status quo the way that it is. And really, you just want to see, you want to hand everybody's ass to them that you can. And that's the game. And I'm supposed to be concerned about these people and for some reason really be motivated and see a difference between them and these conservatives that want to do the same thing, except they never pretend to be someone that they're not. So they're proud to be fascist.
You had something about fentanyl?
Yes, this gets to our failed drug policy. I mean, the big thing with the Halloween approaching is that there's a big harm that some of the candy is going to be laced with fentanyl because there's been this.
It's no longer the razor blade. Now they're going right. to stick some fentanyl in there.
There's going to be a razor blade. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how many times I cut my tongue on one of those razor blades right. that the witch woman put in my apple when I went out, you know. But, you know, this back in my day, you know, when you went out, there was some risk at Halloween, you know. It was a little bit terrifying. You know, you might be kidnapped.
It is actually Halloween, right?
Yeah. So, you know, that's part of the season, getting an apple with a razor blade in it. You know, this is part of the horror of the whole
thing.
It's
even better if you swallow it. Like, if it doesn't cut your tongue and you don't know it, you swallow it, and cuts your throat from the inside.
Yeah. You know, and this happens from time to time. It's part of the season.
Hey, who says we don't make progress in America?
But now you get
40 years ago, it was a razor blade in your apple. Now on Halloween, your children can die from a fentanyl overdose.
So, yeah, coddling them with little painkillers. You know, oh my God. The little kids just can't handle it, can they?
Needless to say.
So this is a serious thing that they're saying is that fentanyl is going to be put in the candy.
Well, but we can joke about those concerns all we want, but the truth is that younger people have been overdosing on fentanyl.
Fentanyl coated candy.
But again, it's just an example of it is an opportunity to draw attention to why do we have to maintain this drug policy and this war on drugs when it's just all of this violence and addiction and this cycle that is just clearly never broken, and these ideas that are just so self-serving and stagnant. And that's yet another reason that I don't believe in liberals, because it's clear to me with liberals that as long as they can stay drunk, they're content with the status quo.
Yeah, I'm looking at it's the first day of the New York Times. The Supreme Court. It's the beginning of the this year's term, and of course they're doing a limit the EPA's power to address climate change. That was the last day last term, but they're doing a case on the Clean Water Act, so I guess they're going to allow them to dump into the be back to the good old days when the rivers were on fire. Those were the days.
The Cuyahoga.
Yeah, you know, back in when we were growing up, you had the Rivers on fire and razor blades in the fruit. You know, the good old days.
And you didn't have to wear a seatbelt.
They're bringing it back. And you had lead in your gasoline and in your paint. You know, all those good things. Shit. You know. Paint was never good after that, I say. You know, the kids should be retarded when they grow up, you know. They will be less trouble. But these soft kids nowadays, their paint chips are just regular old plastic. won't strengthen them at all. Yeah. And I'm even though this article talks about how that the new justice Ketanji Brown Jackson we'll call her KBJ. KBJ. KBJ is vigorously
not JFK, but
KBJ. KBJ vigorously questioned a lawyer challenging the agency's authority. So she's out swinging. Of course, she's in the minority and whatever. She's going to show that she's a hero like, what was the other acronym? Ginsburg, RBG? KBG.
RBG.
RBG. KFC.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
And, yeah, so that was the thrust of the article, was to show that she was out swinging, but in the background, we know what's going to happen. Yeah, they're going to, and Justice Thomas was promising this back whenever Roe v. Wade decision. It was like, this is just the beginning, you know. We're gonna go after all kinds of stuff we've been wanting to end. Then we're going to be asked to vote for the Democrats, you know, to ameliorate this problem.
The arsonists who put out their own fires, or they don't even really do that. They tell you that they're going to.
Yep. All right, man. We got anything else on the list?
I believe that'll do it for this week.
All right, take us on out.
For DVM, this is DWO. You've been listening to the Oblivion Podcast.
LOL.